Amen. We have several serious things. We Savannah Strode went into the hospital yesterday, and she had a tubal pregnancy. Most of you knew that she was pregnant, and it turned out to be a tubal pregnancy, and the blessing of the Lord was there with her. She's had one of these before and had to have one of her tubes removed, and of course they were thinking that you know, her belly was filled with blood, so it looked like maybe this tube had also exploded or broke or ruptured, whatever you call it. And she's 20 years old and has one child. I know she'd love to have probably more. But when they got in there to do surgery, they found out that they had just left a little bit of the first tube and didn't take it all the way out. And the tubal pregnancy was in that little bit of a tube. So they were able to just burn that away, that tube. So she still has her remaining tube, which is, in, the doctor said, is extremely healthy. So her chances of getting pregnant are still there. And we just thank the Lord for walking right with her through that. Maxine Brown is also in the hospital and needs your prayer. And also Brother Marlon, Steve Marlon, which is Shelly's dad, went to ER last night and was having some great difficulty, of which we'll tell you a little bit later, more detail. But be in prayer. Write those things down so that you can just lift up Brother Marlon. Many of you went to his church in McKenzie when he pastored there. And so we just want to lift him up. He's a young man, 62 years old. That's getting younger by the day. And so we just need to lift him up. He's having some very, very serious things going on. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. We're continuing our series of Mark through the book of Mark. And we're going to start with verse 16. And we're just going to read a few verses today. Mark chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brothers, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, from there he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and also who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him." Father God, we're thankful for today. I'm thankful, Lord, to be here in your presence on the first day of this new year. I consider that quite an honor to be in your presence anytime. But on this first day of this brand new year, what a joy it is to feel the Holy Spirit right here with us. We're asking you to do something great today. Lord, every one of us are in a little bit of a different condition in our hearts, spiritually, in our bodies, physically, in our minds, emotionally, in our relationships. We're all at different places. And you are such a big God. You know where each one of us are, and you're such a small God. You know us by name. You know us intimately. I'm asking the Holy Ghost to move across this congregation today and do a work not in one or two, but in every person that's in this building as they have gathered together today to be with you. We release our faith right now to believe for greater things, greater anointing, healing from the past, that we don't carry in the bondage and the luggage, the baggage from the past year and years, but 2017 is a year of freedom, a year that we go free in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for greater anointing and a greater move of the Spirit of God. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be speaking, Lord, and you're going to say, "Follow me," and we will follow you. You're going to say, "Over here, I'm over here," and we're going to go where you're at. We want that kind of intimacy this year, Lord. Lord, we know that this is going to be a year of paradox. Lord, it's going to be a year where some things seem really, really bad, but your Spirit is going to make it really, really good. You're going to change things. It's going to be a year of great growth for some and maybe others stagnation. But Lord, we choose this day to follow you. It is my choice. Just like David says, I will rejoice and be glad in this day. I choose, just like David, to be glad and rejoice in 2017 because I'm walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Spirit of God knows my name. He can lead me wherever He wants. I will follow you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you feel the presence of the Holy Ghost today? He is here and it is special. I love the first couple of verses. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is walking down the road casually, and what he is doing casually is teaching us something very specifically. You get it? What he does casual, we take note of because we want to emulate. We want to follow him. We want to learn as he is teaching us just to follow him. I've titled this sermon, Pray Before You Decide. Pray before decisions in your life. And I've told you many times, I have went to do things and Treva would say those ugly, nasty words to me. She'd say, have you prayed about that? Oh, man. And it always got me just right here because the truth of the matter is I hadn't. I was just doing what Eric wanted to do and asking Jesus to bless it. Come on, wake up. You've been there too. Don't look at me with them holy looks. Jesus has just come out of 40 days of fasting and prayer. 40 days. The King of Kings, God's Son, thought it necessary to spend 40 days in prayer and fasting. Maybe you're not listening to me. God's Son decided that he thought it necessary to spend 40 days in prayer and fasting. And the church today doesn't think it's necessary to spend 40 minutes. Matter of fact, the average Christian prays less than 5 minutes a day. God help us. You see, Jesus knew that he was getting ready to do probably the most important thing that he was going to do on earth next. What's that? He was choosing who would come behind him and take the message of his life to this world. It reads so casual. You read this and it just reads casual, doesn't it? Just like, oh, he's just walking down the road and saying, hey, Pat, come and follow me. No. It had been predecided. He knew where he was going and he knew who would be over there. And he also knows you. And he knows your name. He chose you just like he chooses the disciples. You see, in doing something very casual, he was teaching us a principle for our life. Let prayer go first. Let prayer go first before you make your important decisions. I have counseled many, many people before they get married, and I always ask them, have you spent time in prayer and fasting about this decision? And they look at you like, was I supposed to? She's hot. Right? He he's got money. Do we have to pray when he's got money? You better pray if he's got money. We let a lot of things lead us when we ought to be praying and let him lead us. There'd be a whole lot less divorces, wouldn't there, if more people prayed before deciding to get married? How about moving? Because you get a better job offer. Oh, I can make more money over here. That ought to answer your decision right there, right? Should it? Or do you think it necessary? Maybe you better pray and ask God. Would more money over there be beneficial for my family? Or would staying here be more beneficial? And maybe the Lord wants you to move. I'm not going to answer that for you. You answer it in prayer. How about raising our kids? It's a wonder any one of us ever eats. We should fast all of our lives until they're 21 years old. Fast and pray. Stay on your knees. It's amazing. His first item on his agenda was to select his disciples. And he spent 40 days praying about that decision. Who will follow me? You know, some people make a decision to go into business with someone else. Never give it a second thought. I'll just do that business. You know, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together. And most of us read that and we say, oh, this means marriage. No, it doesn't say marriage. This means anything you're going to yoke yourself to. A business partner is a yoke. You better know that that person has the same priorities and the same principles that you do. Sometimes even where you work. You work for someone unscrupulous, they're going to ask you to do things that you don't want to do. And there's going to be times, I don't know about you, but I went into my boss's office one time when I caught somebody, a salesman, in just a downright lie. And I told my boss, I said, if you go with this, I quit today. Because I will not be a part of this in any way. And he said, we're not that kind of business, Eric. We're going to change. We'll make this right. And thank God, he was a man of integrity. You know, he calls them together. And the call of God was this, follow me. See, the call of today, of the church and the preacher, what do? Accept me. I'll just accept Jesus. So there's so many people in the church that have said, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I accept that. But their life hasn't changed. And there's a problem. Because preachers change the message. You see, the message of God was never accept Jesus Christ. It was to follow Jesus Christ. When you look at that word, it has several definitions. But one of the words of follow means to mimic. You follow him intentionally studying his life. You know, the Bible says that a man ought to know his wife. Well, you better know your wife. That's all I got to. You know, you study that woman. Really, I'm serious. I'm not joking. You study her so that you know what makes her tick. You know the things that she likes, the things she don't like. You get to know her. You know, in the times of the Bibles, they walked everywhere, obviously. And if you were chosen by a rabbi to follow him, they would often say, if he's a good student, a good follower, he's going to be dusty because he's following closely behind his rabbi, his teacher. So he's going to eat the dust of the rabbi. And I just wonder today, how dusty are we? I wonder today, how many of us are ahead of him instead of behind him? We're trying to lead Jesus rather than letting him lead us. We've been called to follow, to imitate, to mimic the life of the Savior with that casualness of he just walking down the road by the Sea of Galilee. We're detailed. What's he doing now? What's on his mind? What's he thinking? How come he goes away to prayer all the time? We are studying, we're listening to his words, and we're dissecting them. What's he mean exactly by that? I don't understand that parable. What did he mean? The disciples were like last year's Easter eggs. They were lost. I mean, they didn't know this guy. And many of them had been disciples of John. So they knew him. They may have been there the day he was baptized and saw the Spirit of God descend upon him. They knew there was something special. They knew that he talked and taught like no one else, but they didn't know him until they had followed him 3 years and found out this guy, there's nothing impossible with him. How closely are you following Jesus today? Have you just accepted that, yes, I believe that he really is the King of Kings? He really did die on the cross for my sin. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Now let's get behind him and let's follow him. How do I know, Eric, if I'm following him closely? When's the last time you spent some time in prayer? When's the last time you opened that old dusty book up and said, begin to dissect these verses. Look at those and study the words. That's how closely you're following. It may seem like he casually picked at his disciples, but he wasn't casual about it. The first call of God was to follow me. The second was a promise. He says, and if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. I think in the church, we try to make way too many things happen. We try, Pentecostals, we're some of the worst. If we don't feel the Spirit of God, we'll manifest the Spirit of God. He doesn't need our help. Let's just let him be genuine. Let us be genuine. He says, I take this real serious. I will make you a fisher of men. I will make you. I don't have to make myself. He is going to reform me and refashion me so he repurposes me to do his will. I'm not qualified. You don't have to be qualified. He just said he's going to make you. What's the calling of God on your life? Don't get uneasy about it. Just realize that's what he's going to make in you. He's going to do the work. You don't have to worry about it. Have you ever thought about what exactly does it mean to be a fisher of men? I believe the Lord gave me this. We lure men to God with bait. We lure, L-U-R-E, lure men to God with bait. And then you got to think, what's the bait that we're using? The love of God. Amen. It's the love of God. It's not your judgment. It's not you getting mad or doing something, rebuking people and telling them how ugly they are. That does not bring people to Christ. The love of God compels people. Matter of fact, they said that we're going to be known by our love. You want to know whether a person is a person of God? Examine the fruit of their life. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Did you notice it says fruit? It's not fruits. Now it gives what? 8 or 9 things? But it's singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Then I believe he takes the next few words and he describes exactly what love is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Christians, we've got away from that goodness thing. Well, I'm not supposed to be a goody two-shoes. You're not? If you're following close after the rabbi, he was good. You're going to be good. I thought that might be a quiet moment in the church. You know, Treva's mom used to always tell him, don't be ugly, be Christian. And every person in that household knew exactly what she meant. She was not saying, go to the mirror and get that ugly face fixed. She was saying, your person is ugly right now. Don't do that. Oh, for the body of Christ to let the Spirit of God be good in them. Again, it's not something you do. It's something you are. See, when you've been walking with the Master, if you're following Him, the fruits of the Spirit begin, the fruit of the Spirit begins to manifest itself in you. It's not that I have to work at being good, and boy, sometimes I do. Oh, Jesus. But the closer I get to Him, you know, sometimes I have times in my life when I want to give people just a little piece of my mind. Just a little piece. Do you know I never, ever, ever do that after I've spent time in prayer with Jesus? You know, if I just am in His presence and I've just been worshiping, people can come and say the ugliest things to me, and I don't want to slap them. Now, you let me get 15 minutes out of His presence and you say that same ugly thing, and I may. You better hope I don't unload on you. We all have that ugly tongue, don't we? But thank the Lord, He wants to clean that up in us. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21, He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. That's the first call of God. It's for Him to reconcile us. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's fishing. Write that down in your Bible. That's good. The ministry of reconciliation is fishing. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to this, as though God were pleading through us. You are His voice on earth today. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. First He reconciles us, and then He makes us ambassadors. He makes us fishers of men. So what He's done in our heart, we take to the people outside and say, let me tell you about my friend. Let me tell you about the God who's changed my world. And He has, hasn't He? He should have changed everything about you. Your personality, He starts changing actually. Those that were impatient, all of a sudden, as you walk with Jesus, you find you're more patient. Those that were not loving, you walk with Jesus, you're going to find yourself loving. Those that had a perverted mouth, He'll even take that away from you. Thank you, Jesus. I find there's nothing that He won't touch in your life if you'll let Him. And then it says something. It says He met four guys that day, and all of them were in the boats. They were mending their nets, which were incredibly important, how they took care of their nets, because that's how they earn their living. And if they were to throw that net out and then go to take it up and it had a big old rip in it, big old hole in it, there goes your cash crop. There goes your food for your family. So they took very good care of these nets. They were mending their nets with their dad, taking care of business. And Jesus said, come follow me. And they got out of their boat and they left. That word left means they forsook. Do you know many times the same word that's used there for left is used as in divorce? Come on. Get your heads on. Have you divorced your old way of life to follow Jesus? Do you know that many Christians today, they just try to add Jesus to their life? That's a real common problem in today's society. Anything goes. So rather than divorcing the oldness of life, they just say, come on in, Jesus. Come on into this hellhole that I'm living in. No, no. That's not what Jesus is asking of you. He's saying, come follow me. You leave where you're at. Oh, Christian, come on, wake up. This is good. We need to leave the things we've been hanging on to. We need to divorce the stuff that's had us in bondage, because there is a better way. The disciples left the very thing that provided for their families, their security of life, they left it. Why? To follow him. This is pretty serious stuff. This is not Christianity American style. Are you getting it? This is a much deeper commitment. We have cheapened the gospel. And I think he's asking us this year in 2017, will you follow me? Will you divorce the things that you've been hanging on to? And will you cling to me, to know me, to mimic me? Will you get dusty in my trail? Are you hearing the Spirit of God today? I really believe the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Too many people want a new and a different year than 2016. But they're going to go into 2017 living the same way they did 2016. And if you go into 2017 living like you did 2016, 2017 is going to be identical. You're going to have to make some changes. You're going to have to spend some time in prayer. You're going to have to spend some time in fasting to get into that intimacy with God. You know, one of the things I noticed, now I don't believe that Jesus journaled because he was perfect. But do you know 3 of the 4 Gospels record this message of what happened to him in the wilderness? So he told his story after he come out of that wilderness. You know, I think you need to get you a book this year. And I think when you go into your prayer closet, you need to take that book and you need to take that pen. Many times people will, the Lord will give them a word and I'll ask them this, did you write that down? Because see, Satan wants to steal that from you immediately. You see, today in this church, you ought to have a pen in your hand. And when I said, do you hear the Spirit of God saying something to you today? You ought to be writing that down, because before you leave these doors, Satan is going to be trying to steal that from you. But if you wrote it down, you're going to go back and you're going to say, January 1, 2017, the Lord told me I need to follow him and mimic his ways. And my life will be different in 2017 if I'll follow his voice. If I leave the things behind. Wednesday night I taught a lesson, and one of the things I taught on was the butterfly effect. Now I know today many of us are making ourselves promises about what we're going to do this year. And if you make it out of the first week of January keeping your promises, you're going to be pretty more successful than most people. The butterfly effect is, in 1960, there was a meteorologist named by the name of Lorenz, and he was inputting data into a computer of sorts, and he decided to round it off. The number was 0.506127, and he thought, I'll just round it off to the nearest thousand. So he rounded it off to 0.506. He just left off the 127. And it didn't make much of a difference in the immediate future of his, what he was trying to do. But in the long-term effect, what he found out was rounding that off made a huge difference. You see, he said this, well, rounding that off will make no more difference to the weather patterns and to my predictions of the weather patterns than the puff of the butterfly's wing. Not going to make a difference. But he was wrong. He found out just rounding that off made a huge effect in the future. You see, I say that to say this. Most of us think, man, am I going to make some changes in my life in 2017? I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to spend 3 hours a day in prayer and I'm going to read the whole book of the Word of God. Yes, and I would just say, no, you're not. But what if you say, I'm going to read a verse a day and I'm going to spend 5 or 6 or 8 minutes with my Savior today and every day of this new year? It's going to be the butterfly effect. A small change will affect your life over time dramatically. By the end of the year, you will not be the same person because of the small changes. I read something years ago, and they said, if people would just decide to take the stairs instead of the elevator, if they would decide to park farther down in the parking lot rather than parking as close as they can get, if they would decide to leave off mayonnaise, dear God, I can't make that decision yet. It's the small changes that over time. You know, every year I think I want to lose 60 pounds. Yes. You know, I lost 25 pounds this year. I just happened to put it back on in about September, October, November. They were not good months. I was 25 pounds lighter at one point during the year. Jeez, I get the blessing of losing it twice. So let's end this service today. And let's remember that the call of God is to follow Him. He's asking you today, will you make an intentional study of the life of Christ? Will you make an intentional study of the life of Christ? And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, it seemed so casual, but I want to study every footstep he took. I want to see what he was doing. I want to see what he ate. I want to see the time he spent in prayer. I want to listen to him pray. And the disciples must have listened to him pray because they said this, will you teach us how to pray like that? We grew up praying, but we don't pray like that. Can you teach us to do that? An intentional study of the life of Christ is what he's calling me to do. And the promise that goes with it is I will make. If I will follow, he will make. Amen. There's a promise with every call. If you will follow, I will make. Now, I don't know what you want him to make this year. And truthfully, I don't know what he wants to make of you. But I know one thing. The Bible says he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew you in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. He says he knew you from the foundations of the earth. He knows you. And if you think you just happened to wander in this church and accept Jesus Christ because you thought it was a good idea, you are mistaken, my friend. The Holy Spirit is beckoning you and calling you into a deeper relationship with him. He goes first and calls you. You're not that bright. He refers to us as sheep, and sheep are not smart animals. He calls us. Will you answer him? Stand with me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just think, what a great day. First day of the week, first day of the year. What a great day to follow him. To choose this day that I am going to walk closely behind my Savior. I'm going to make an intentional study of the life of Christ. If you're here today and you don't exactly know if you're saved or not, but as I talked, you may have been thinking, you know what? I'm one of those who accepted Jesus Christ. I don't know if I ever divorced the things and left the things and followed him. With an uplifted hand, I just want to pray for you. Is anyone here today that says, pray for me, Pastor? Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand in the back, in the front. Amen. 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 I see that hand. Amen. I see that. Amen. A lot of rededications today. I think it'd be a great day to say, hey, I want to dedicate 2017 to following Jesus. Can I see some hands out there? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Almost every hand in the place has gone up. I hope you're sincere. Only God knows that, and only you know it. But I'd like to pray for you. My Father, I worship and I honor you. I have felt your Spirit in this place very strongly. I know that beyond my words, you have been doing things in their hearts. I believe, Lord, there's some very sincere people here that are asking to redirect them this year. They're wanting to divorce the things that they have held on to. And they're looking to follow you as your disciples did. They're looking to become dusty in your footsteps. An intentional study of your life. Father, we ask right now, we submit ourselves to you. We resist the devil. And I pray, Lord, that you come running to each and every person today. If there's anyone that does not know you today, I pray that they would submit themselves to you. I ask that they would say that they're asking you to forgive them of their sins, to cleanse them of their sins, and to allow them to follow you closely, beginning with this day for the rest of their life. I pray, Lord Jesus, that every one of us would walk closely with you, not ahead of you, but following behind, looking for your direction in their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you folks. Pastor Ray.